Hey, welcome to the Napcast. My name is David.
And my name is Seth.
And today we're going to be doing something special called Seth's Choice. We're going to do some episodes where, in this particular episode, Seth gets to talk about whatever, whether or not I know about it. So basically, if I don't know anything about it, he'll be telling me. And at some other point, we'll do a David's Choice, where I get to choose what we're talking about, and whether or not Seth knows anything about it, I can explain it to him, or we can just have a good conversation.
Depending. So either way, one of us is going to look stupid.
Or we might both know what we're talking about.
Or
it
we might
on
actually both know what we're talking about.
So
you never
Seth,
know.
What would you like to discuss today?
I think today I'd like to talk to you and educate you a little bit about Mass Effect.
Mass Effect. I think I've heard of that. It's like a video game. There's a guy that's a German Shepherd. Is that right? I don't think that's how it works.
I don't think he's German, but yes, there is the main character in the first three installments of Mass Effect is named Shepherd.
Okay, that shows the extent of my knowledge, so this is going to be a learning experience for me as we go through this.
All right, so the first Mass Effect game came out in 2007. It's released by...
like a decade ago.
Yeah, everyone is begging BioWare to do a 10-year remaster.
Ooh.
I don't think they're going to do it, but I would love to see one.
All right, so which game, first of all, is your favorite of the three or four?
There are four entries in the series now. The Mass Effect trilogy, of the three of those, I like all of them for different things.
All right, we're going to go into spoiler territory like we almost always do. So,
yes.
Seth.
Massive spoilers for Mass Effect coming up.
There's a joke in there somewhere. It's a massive, okay. So, Seth is going to go ahead and fill me in on the storyline, which will be spoiling it for me, but that is perfectly fine. I don't mind.
Fair enough. All right, so it starts off with you in the first game. You are a human named Shepard, who serves with the System Alliance military as a Marine.
So he's a human shepherd, but he's a Marine.
Yes.
But he's not a shepherd.
Yes.
But he's also not a shepherd, he's a Marine.
Correct.
But he's a human?
Bear with me. It'll make sense.
Okay.
So you're on this mission to this planet that Earth has colonized.
How far in the future is this?
This is in the year 2183.
Oh, that's coming right up.
Yeah.
They better hurry up and get to that 10-year anniversary.
Oh, I know. Well, the whole backstory for this is 50 years ago, we were exploring Mars and found all this super advanced technology and then realized there were other species out there and that we were noobs to them.
That's
usually how it goes. Either humans command the galaxy or they're total newcomers to it.
And we do our best to get the technology and explore with them and we still don't.
Hey,
I don't know.
Everyone still hates us because humans.
I guess.
Anyways,
there's a bias against humans in a lot of these games.
There really is. Mass Effect, unfortunately, has some very, very racist,
racism, maybe?
Racism is very alive and well in Mass Effect, unfortunately.
But it's like an actual race type thing. Like, it doesn't depend on your skin color. It depends on, your actual, creature lineage, your race, I guess. Are you a human? Are you a Martian?
Some people are racist against others for what they've done. For example,
that doesn't even count as racism, does
it?
Oh, the race itself. Okay.
Yeah. There's a race in Mass Effect called the Quarians they got kicked off of their home planet about 400 years before the series starts by things that they created.
Okay.
They basically created artificial intelligences that rose up against their creators.
What a smart idea that was.
It wasn't intentional.
Oh, okay. It usually isn't.
It's usually never intentional, but it always happens for whatever reason.
It's a surprise, surprise.
So back in the first game, you're just going along on a normal mission, and then all of a sudden things go very, very badly.
You find out
that there's this race of sentient machines that every 50,000 years or so, you find out they come back to the galaxy and just destroy all sentient life.
Every 50,000 years?
Yes.
Hmm. So did they show up in Earth's history anywhere before this, or is it Earth was not ever noticed?
It's working. It's based on an old Earth framework.
Hmm.
So this has been going on for millions and millions of years, according to the game's lore.
Okay. So they've done it many, many times.
They have.
It's got to be thousands of times.
So what basically happens is that every time there's this culling of the intelligent races, it leaves the less intelligent races to evolve and take their place. And
So is it a super intelligent race that's coming in and doing the culling?
Yes.
Well, that's biased.
Only slightly.
We're so important that anybody that's even close to us, we're going to kill. So everybody else can get closer to us. We can kill them later. Because we're amazing.
There's a lot of philosophical reasons that it goes into in the third game about why that takes place.
Okay.
But you don't know any of that starting off in the first game.
As a brief aside, this kind of reminds me of some of the storyline from like the 2001 Space Odyssey and the 2010, 2056, and all those.
3000 to Space Odyssey.
Where those like hyper-intelligent creatures that are like pure light. They were beings, and then they went into robotic bodies, and then they became pure light matrices. So they go around like trying to encourage life or whatever, and they also destroy life.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't let you do that.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't let you. I don't remember. What else does he save? Would you like to hear me sing a song?
Open the bay doors, Hal!
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that, even though my name is David, so that doesn't quite work. I'm sorry, Dave. There's all those posts.
I'm sorry, me.
This is another quick aside, but all those posts on Facebook where it shows a meme of some comment and it always shows Hal going, I'm sorry, Dave, I can't, something. And I always get personally offended by those. Not actually, but I always comment as if I'm personally offended. Getting back to Mass Effect, there's a super intelligent race that's making life miserable for everybody that's kind of as intelligent as they are.
And no one will believe you that they're about to come back.
Because of course.
And no one will also believe you that one of the... top dogs in the Galactic Council of Races is responsible for trying to bring them back.
Well, why is he trying to bring them back? Is it ahead of schedule, or is he just trying to help them?
He's trying to usher in their return because of some misguided belief that things will be better.
If
he helps them.
He's one of those people?
Yeah.
Oh, and of course things are not going to go well for him, because they never do.
Well, major spoilers at the end of the game. You find out he's been indoctrinated by them the whole time.
Oh, so they used him
already. Yeah, they basically just straight up used him.
Oh, okay.
But there are some amazing twists in the first game, and I love the story of it for that.
Are you okay? Are you going to try to save those spoilers, or are we still going to cover them? Which I don't mind either way. Because I haven't had a chance to get into the game.
For those of you who haven't played Mass Effect, close your ears. Just stop listening.
Just put on your headphones.
You can tune back in about 5 minutes. The first big twist comes right at the end of Act 2.
Okay.
Which is when you discover that you can't save everyone.
Of course not.
Which was...
You make a choice.
Well, it was a huge twist because at that time, there was always a way to save everyone. So in this particular twist...
Is this one of those games where like your choices, like you have to make choices throughout and you can save some people, you can get the best ending or a terrible ending or something?
This is one of those games.
So in the first two...
It is one of the forerunners of those games.
Oh, is it? So like the first two games, you can save everyone, or if you just like are terrible at playing the game, you can kill everyone or save a couple people?
Yep.
Okay. Did you say the third one?
The second one, Mass Effect 2, actually has the worst ending, where everyone can die, including yourself. But we'll get there.
So don't go for that game.
We'll get there.
I mean ending.
So at the end of Act 2 in the first Mass Effect game, you have this like nuclear bomb that just got armed, and one of your squad mates is defending the bomb.
And then the G-Man should... Oh, wait, no, that's Half-Life. Wrong game.
There are no head crabs here.
Oh, okay. Are there any mutant zombies?
There are not mutant zombies in this game.
Oh, wait, there are in the other games?
We'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
So one of your squad mates is defending the bomb, and the other one is trying to fight off the enemy reinforcements. And there's not time enough, because the bomb is already armed, for you to save both of them. So you choose to save one and let the other die, or vice versa.
So wait, so if you help out your squad mate, then the guy trying to disarm the bomb dies because the bomb goes off?
They're both technically your squad mates.
Well, okay, so if you're trying to help the squad mate that's reinforcing, or like fighting the reinforcement or whatever, then the other guy will die because the bomb goes off?
Yes.
But then doesn't everybody die if the bomb goes off?
There's only...
a nuke?
What happens in that particular instance is you go to where your squad mate is pinned down by the enemy... You kill all of the enemies, and then your ship comes in and picks all of you up, and then you leave, and the bomb explodes.
And the other guy just doesn't have a chance to get out.
Yeah, he just doesn't have... There's not enough time to evac
and
both of them.
And he can't even disarm the bomb because he's not smart or something?
Well, it's a 20-megaton bomb, so it's got quite a payload.
Which is not the largest bomb that humanity has ever made, I think.
It is not, but it's also pretty stinking big.
Yeah, I forget, was this the Tsar Bomba, was that 50 megaton or was that 100 megaton?
You know, I can't remember.
I think it was only 50 because if they made it 100, then their plane wouldn't get out in time, no matter how high they dropped it from. So I think they had to make
it
50.
You always have to be able to get away from the bomb that you're dropping.
I think they, for the test, they actually nerfed some of its power, to use that term, because otherwise...
It's fine. Let's just nerf a bomb.
Had they done full power, it would have been like 100 megaton, I think. I don't remember the exact numbers.
But ridiculously,
definitely the most overpowered bomb.
That's a ridiculously powerful bomb.
Yeah. So this one being 20 megatons, still nothing to sneeze at.
It sounds impressive. It is impressive. It's not the most impressive.
But definitely, it's very impressive for a video game, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
Most games don't have bombs that large.
Quite a big boom.
A big boom, you say. All right.
The other big twist comes towards the...
Before you get there, so just while we're still on this guy, so if you, instead of helping the guy with reinforcements, if you go to the other guy and help him disarm the bomb, does the bomb get disarmed, but then your first guy dies from the squad or whatever?
Well, the bomb goes off no matter what you do.
Oh.
So the other option in that case is you defend the guy, because there are a lot of enemies on this particular planet. So you either help the guy where the bomb is or help the girl where the bomb isn't, I guess.
Because she's the one fighting the...
She's the one pinned down by enemies.
So if you help the guy, do you go and evacuate him and just leave the girl behind?
Yes.
Oh. Or otherwise, so you're just picking one of them and you evacuate.
You pick which one lives and which one dies.
Which one, by the way, which one's supposed to be the best ending? Or doesn't it...
That one doesn't really have a better or best scenario.
Well, how are you supposed to win the game?
One of them just dies. And there's no way to save both of them.
Is that why people don't like the game as much? Are they frustrated by it? I feel like there was some stigma about one of the games.
That's not the reason everyone hates Mass Effect 1. I can give you that in two syllables.
Oh.
Mako.
Is this one of the characters? Is this the evil robot sidekick?
The Mako is actually not a character, but a vehicle.
Oh.
So.
Of all the reasons to hate a game, I would not have suspected a vehicle.
You have clearly not played Mass Effect.
Of course not. I'm new at
this,
remember?
The Mako is the worst vehicle ever. And I've played some really bad games with vehicles, or bad vehicle sections in games. This is the worst.
What makes it so bad?
It
that people hate it more
so
than...
So it's a six-wheeled monster of a tank.
A six-wheeled tank?
That can jump and also shoot things, but not at the same time. It's just, it's very hard to aim with a tank, so it nerfs that aspect of it.
Okay.
It's very hard to drive, which means it's bad as a vehicle.
Is the handling just like all over the place?
The handling is... garbage.
Oh man.
And it has quite a payload if you actually get a shot off with the tank, but you have to be basically stationary to get a good shot off,
which defeats the purpose of a tank.
Correct.
If I remember, in World War II, one of the big advances with the Sherman tank was that it could fire while it was going because it had like the auto gyro stabilizer, which made it so much better than the other tanks, which had to stop and try to aim. So
precision German engineering.
But hey, this tank can jump, so why is that a good thing?
It's not.
Oh. Did they make that an aspect where you have to jump over things in your tank to get places?
I don't think there was any platforming that you had to do with the Mako, unfortunately.
Now that would be even worse,
I'm
guessing.
That would be terrible.
Oh, man.
But anyway, the other twist that happens in Mass Effect 1 is actually kind of concurrent with the first one, but it's a story twist rather than a game mechanics twist.
Rather than you choosing the story, it's just part of the story.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's when you find out that the agent's ship that you've been chasing for the entire game is actually the bad guy.
Oh,
and he was just...
How is that a twist if you've just been chasing it the whole time?
Because you thought it was just a ship this whole time, and it turns out the ship is actually one of the sentient machines that's going to destroy everything.
Oh, the ship itself is the
yes.
bad guy. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the twist.
So a ship itself being a bad guy, I mean, that's part of the sentient machine race, I think, that you mentioned.
Yep. It has one of the best villain monologues I have ever heard.
Does the entire ship talk to the character?
Yes.
Ooh.
It does, actually. The ship talks to you, and it's freaky as heck.
Wait, what is the ship's name?
Its name is Sovereign.
Oh, okay. No, I think I was thinking of something else, but I was hoping I was going to make like a good
Tony J
reference.
Quite a few of them have names, but...
Okay. So all of that is in Mass Effect 1?
Yes, that's basically Mass Effect 1.
And everyone hates the rolling, hopping tank.
Yes, because it's terrible.
Oh, man. Boy, that game just really tanked. Anyways.
The game itself was really solid.
Okay.
Except for that part.
Well,
Mass Effect 2 is the one that everyone kind of picks as their favorite because it's also really good.
Okay.
So Mass Effect 2 starts off with you dying.
Great. Lovely.
So after
and there's the game, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Wait,
after beating the gigantic robot at the end of the first game and saving everyone, you die because of a laser that blows up your ship.
Great.
Yay. And then somehow you're rebuilt with some cybernetic augments that have no game value whatsoever. But
wait, was this the theory that Matt Pat discussed in one of his game theory ones about Commander Shepard?
So Game Theory a few years ago did a game theory about. Yeah, I mean, it's not like they do anything else. But they did a theory that Commander Shepard as a Mass Effect 2 is actually a zombie.
Hmm.
Regenerated.
I do remember seeing that, but I frankly didn't understand much of it because I don't know a thing about Mass Effect.
Yeah.
I need to go back and watch that once we get done with this episode
it's
so I know what's going on.
Quite freaky. I've watched that before.
Now, do you agree with his theory? Just
no.
Out of curiosity? Not at
I
all?
I don't.
Okay.
I think it'd be possible to reanimate a human because they've basically been... So the way you,
if it is that far in the future, maybe they have the technology.
Yeah, well, it's 2185 at that point, and by the they spend almost 2 years and 4 billion credits putting you back together.
Okay, I mean, you better be worth it then.
You'd be, you know, you're okay. Very much worth
so
it.
So in Mass Effect 2, you start off as a dead German Shepherd. I'm thinking German because of the tanks now, and so the Shepherd. So I'm all distracted. So you start off
you're
as a dead Shepherd.
Place.
And then you get brought back to life as the world's most expensive zombie military experiment. And then the game
sure,
happens?
Sure, we'll go with that.
Okay, that's
so
a perfect description.
You realize you're brought back by this guy named the Elusive Man.
What a great name.
I know. He's also.
Wait, I wonder if he's hard to find.
He's hard to see. He's also voiced by Martin Sheen, which is an amazing casting choice, and I'm so glad they did that, because Martin Sheen is amazing.
So what happens in this game? Do you
in
die
this
again?
Game, are told that you've been brought back because humans are disappearing from different colonies that they've set up throughout the galaxy. And
Not
the humans again.
No!
And nobody's doing anything to find out why.
So they rebuilt you as a zombie so that you can go save the day.
Yeah, so he basically hires you and tasks you with finding out why the humans are all going missing.
All right.
So you go,
sounds like a straightforward task.
Yeah, and then you go to the first place. And it gets more complicated, as per usual,
surprise,
with Mass
surprise.
Effect. It turns out that there's this race of kind of seclusive, hermit-like, reclusive aliens. That's
reclusive.
The word I was looking for. Reclusive
okay.
aliens.
Are they called, inclusive?
They are not. They don't like
are
people.
They intrusive? Now I'm just making fun of you. Sorry. Okay, so
there's anyways,
reclusive there's, aliens.
Their race is called the Collectors.
Are you sure they're not the Chozo?
Yes.
Okay,
in this particular case, they're not Chozo. As
okay.
neat as that would be.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Crossover fanfic.
Anyways, so there's these reclusive old guys that do something.
Well, it turns out that these collectors, this alien race, is the one that's been kidnapping the humans.
Oh,
but
no.
Nobody knows
on the very
why.
First planet you went to?
Yeah.
Wow, that was easy.
So the entire rest of the game revolves around recruiting people to go on this suicide mission to defeat the collectors and rescue all the humans.
A suicide mission?
Yes,
okay.
Because you have to go through this... So hyper faster than light travel, I should say, in Mass Effect is accomplished using these things called mass relays.
Okay.
That are big things. It basically looks like a rail gun that fires you into space.
Does it like turn you into like a form of energy and then back?
It kind of grabs hold of your ship, encases it in a Mass Effect field, which is...
oh, hey, that's what the name of the game is. What do you know? I bet that's why it's called Mass Effect.
What?
What? Anyways.
Mind blown.
Oh, it all makes so much more sense.
It encases the ship in a Mass Effect field and kind of fires it off into space, and that's how you're able to get around the galaxy so quickly.
So you've got to go on this suicide mission to defeat these old collector people that
so
are collecting
to,
all the humans.
You have to go through this mass relay called the Omega 4 relay.
Oh, no.
And it's like... notorious because nobody who's ever tried to use it has come back.
Well, it seems like a great idea.
Yeah. So
naturally,
it turns
so we just go through this, and because you're the heroes, you survive? Or is that why
well,
it's a suicide mission?
As you go, yeah, it's supposed to be a suicide mission because you're probably not going to make it back.
Oh, great.
It's very, 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 very heavily suggested in the game that someone is going to die because it's nearly impossible to get every character in the game, in your party, rather, to survive that mission.
Great.
I have done it. It's very difficult.
So that's like, is that like
planning.
The true ending that you're after?
That is the true ending. That's the best case scenario ending where everyone
okay.
survives.
Also probably the hardest one to achieve.
It is.
Is it harder than trying to kill everybody? Sometimes that's hard to do
actually,
too.
The ending in Mass Effect 2 I mentioned earlier where everyone dies is harder to achieve.
Oh, that is harder.
Because you have to go out of your way to ensure that you don't do certain things.
Such that everybody
such
dies.
Such that everyone will die.
It's very easy to have a couple or a lot of people die, but everybody or nobody.
It's very easy to have one or two people die. The first time I ever played through Mass Effect 2, I had two squad mates die and there was nothing I could do about it. And
well,
I was
it probably
very sad.
Was. You just had no idea.
Well, yeah, at the time that was true. I hadn't done research first.
Okay. Man, research just makes video games way better or worse. Tedious sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a lot of fun.
So you go through and try to collect people to get to volunteer for the suicide mission. And then you meet some very interesting surprises along the way.
Hey!
Nothing quite as earth-shattering as the first,
The 20-ton bomb? Oh, wait, that's
the
first
game.
Yeah,
not that one.
Okay.
Not quite as big as that one. But you discover that the Collectors are actually a race of aliens that everyone thought was extinct.
Oh!
They disappeared 50,000 years ago, which was the time of the last cycle.
What do you know?
What?
What?
And they've been altered by the sentient machines and now work for them.
Wait, were the sentient machines the ones that would always come back and would destroy? Oh, I didn't realize that was this. Okay.
Yes, they're called the Reapers. Because I have not mentioned that name before.
Okay. Are they happy Reapers or are they grim Reapers?
Boo.
Boo. Okay, yeah, I need to be slapped for that one. Ouch, I hit my headphones.
So you go through and find the Collector's home base, and from there...
Surprise, you find the Collector's.
What?
It's the third time now we've done that.
It's near the middle of the galaxy, which is why nobody's ever really come back.
It's in the deep core.
It is in the deep core. Wait, that's the wrong universe. What have you done? You got me off onto Star Wars.
Oh, that was... Our person that's not in the booth over there is super exciting.
We will do an expanded universe episode sometime in the future. We promise. It's probably going to be in season 2.
So these Collectors are in the middle of the universe, apparently. Are they by a big black hole in the middle of the universe? Or
yes.
Is that just not? Oh, okay. Is that why they're hiding? Because of the black hole?
Yes.
Oh.
That's where they're hiding.
Oh, and where they're hiding.
They have
it's a good
lot
hiding
of,
place.
It is. They have a lot of advanced weaponry and ships and that kind of thing. And
what do you know?
It prevents people from ever coming back.
All right.
So from that point on, everything you do can get someone killed if you do it wrong.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise.
The stakes are really high.
Yes, they are.
But you can't kill everyone unless you do it exactly wrong.
Exactly.
Exactly. All right. So then the final twist at the end is you're a bad guy. I have no idea.
Well, the final twist at the end is actually you can choose to blow up the Collector's home base and kill all of them and save all the humans. Or you can choose to save all of the humans, but keep the base to study it for its technology.
All the humans that are still alive, you mean?
Yes.
At that point, you don't kill anybody else that would already not be dead?
Correct.
Okay. So you can save all the humans that are left and then save the technology and the Collectors themselves and possibly release them on the future for later or something. I don't know. Or you can just blow them all up and be done with them and return from your impossible mission a hero, maybe?
Well, unfortunately, it's not quite that simple.
Because the government says, oh, hey, you weren't supposed to be alive.
Exactly.
And you killed people.
Well, almost. The government... thought you were dead for 2 years because that's the time gap between Mass Effect.
So the Sackville Baggins is steal all your spoons. Oh, is that the wrong universe?
That came from so out of left field. Oh my gosh. It doesn't have anything to do with The Hobbit, unfortunately.
Shoot.
As amazing of a book as that is.
It is.
But you were actually recruited by an organization called Cerberus, which in the first game was thought to be this kind of like...
Is that like a mispronunciation of like Cerebrus or Cerebro or something?
It's actually like a terrorist organization in the
first
game.
Oh no, not again.
Yeah, it's kind of a human supremacist organization that's
dedicated. We're better than
to...
all the aliens.
Yay!
Because we're actually not smart at what we're doing, but we're getting smarter, so we're smart, right? Okay.
Something like that.
Humans for the win.
So you were recruited at the very beginning of the game by the leader of Cerberus, so you've been kind of off the radar this entire time.
And then the government finds out at the end that you blew up a bunch of people, or you didn't.
Yep, and they court-martial you.
Of course. Do they court-martial you either way, based on whatever happens?
Yes.
Great.
Well, even if you die...
They court-martial you if you die?
Well, only because that's how the beginning of Mass Effect 3 starts. It's 6 months later with you having been court-martialed.
Oh, so even if you die, they would have court-martialed you, but you just kind of died in the game, so they have you restart?
Yes.
Good to know. So they court-martial you for whatever reason. Which one do they actually go with in the third
game?
Well,
the thing is, it's different based on whether or not you play a piece of DLC.
Oh, does the DLC like help it tie over so that it knows what you did? Or?
You can. It's fine if you play it without the DLC. Mass Effect 2 has a ridiculous amount of DLC, which I have also played all of.
Okay.
There's only one piece that's very important, but we'll get into that later.
Okay.
This particular one is called Arrival, and it's like you have to go on a solo mission into this random area of space where there's a group of aliens that really, really don't like humans.
Surprise, surprise.
And rescue a human operative.
Who has been held captive by these collectors? Wait, wrong species.
The Reapers.
By these Reapers.
Well, the Batarians.
The unhappy Reapers.
Is the name of the species of aliens.
Oh, okay.
So it turns out you find her. She's indoctrinated too. And so she's trying to open the gateway to dark space, which is where the Reapers live, apparently, in the Mass Effect universe. And so you stop her. By blowing up a solar system.
Again? I mean, that's not the proper response. And this is the DLC?
This is the DLC. So, the way Mass Effect 3 starts, if you don't have the Arrival DLC, it just ends with you know, you were working for Cerberus for the last however long.
So it doesn't actually make up its mind over which reason you were court-martialed for?
Well, the game itself dictates whether or not. If you have the piece of DLC, you are court-martialed for blowing up a solar system.
Oh, so
they
just kind of
if you don't have the DLC, you are court-martialed for working with Cerberus.
But it doesn't actually say which one you did in the second game? Like, it just kind of leaves it open enough that you could have done either in the second game? Okay. That's the best way to do it, to be honest.
Because technically, Arrival is after the ending of Mass Effect 2.
Right.
So if so
they're
you play it or not,
you
it really
for some reason.
Yes.
Okay.
Because you did something bad.
Good for you.
Yay.
You're off the radar, and the government's not happy with you, despite you saving the day or something.
Well, yeah.
Or at least saving most of your crew members.
You were working with the wrong people, so we're going to court-martial you anyway.
All right. So you get court-martialed at the beginning of Mass Effect 3.
And then the Reapers invade.
Not
what?
Again.
They're actually real. You haven't believed me for 3 years, but here they are.
And the surprise twist in this one, I think you said, was that one of the guys was actually indoctrinated by them. Or was that a different game?
That was that's a popular fan theory to explain the ending of Mass Effect 3.
Is this a controversial one?
Mass Effect 3 is the controversial one because of how it ends.
Great.
Because it came out 5 years after the first game, after we had all gotten countless hours invested in the first two games. And even in Mass Effect 3, it's still a 20 to 30 hour campaign.
And that's the first time through, I'm assuming.
And that's just the first time through on easy.
Oh boy. I mean,
I've played through all of the first Mass Effect game on hardcore with only the pistol because I could.
Oof. And how many hours did that take you?
That took me about 50 hours.
And how many hours have you put into the entire thing so far?
The entire series as a whole?
Yeah.
I've played
with all the DLC and everything?
All of the DLC and everything. I have played Mass Effect as a series for probably close to 500 hours.
Not bad. That's
most of that time is in the second game.
And most of that time, were you stuck in the same section or just playing it again?
Most of it was because I was trying to figure out how to get the best ending in Mass Effect 2 and save everyone. It's extremely hard and requires a lot of math.
Ooh.
If you have a certain variable off by like 2, you won't be able to do it. It's extremely hard to do.
But you can at least do the math and try to get it right?
Yes.
If you understand
it. It is very possible, but you have to make a lot of good decisions at a lot of key moments.
Which... is that different per each game, or is there just a specific, if you always set the variable to this and do it exactly this way, you'll win? Or is it per game?
It's per game. Each game kind of refines and tweaks certain features, like the morality system changes from game to game.
Like playthrough through playthrough? Like each playthrough, is it the exact same?
Each playthrough of this each individual game will be about the same.
Okay. So it's not impossible.
It's not impossible. It's just very, very difficult, and you have to know what you're doing.
Okay. So after you get court-martialed in the third game, the government's like, oh, wait, we actually agreed with you secretly, but we're still court-martialing you publicly. So we're stripping you of your rank, but you can go work as a private treasure collector on this far-off planet.
Well, mostly
I have no idea.
You're about to go on trial, and then the Reapers invade Earth and start killing people.
I knew I'd forgotten something.
Yay!
Yay!
So you have to make a mad dash off the planet before you die.
So this time, the Reapers are assuming that humans are advanced enough that they can be killed?
For whatever reason, the Reapers pick the humans as, like, the top race in the galaxy.
Because you're a main character, and that's how things go.
Because plot-induced stupidity?
But of course, you have to survive. You have to survive because you're the main character.
You are doomed
by canon. Wait, that's not true.
It depends. This is
To win the game, you have to survive.
True.
So you're supposed
to
survive.
Actually, that's not necessarily true, to think of it, because this is the one that has the controversial ending.
Oh, okay. After the Reapers are invading and you have to get off the planet really quickly, which you supposedly do.
It's your objective to unite a bunch of different races in the galaxy who hate each other for different reasons.
Oh boy, politics.
Yep, politics. It's fun politics, though, because it's not all politics. I know, that sounds like an oxymoron.
It really does.
It's a lot of shooting things and then watching cutscenes of people trying to argue with each other.
While shooting things still? Or do they argue about the shooting things, or are they just arguing?
They do argue a lot about the shooting things.
Okay,
For example, there are two races in the game, the Krogans and the Turians.
Ooh.
The Turians are the militaristic kind of the Spartan race of this game.
Okay.
Not the Halo Spartans, like the Spartan Spartans.
Oh, okay. The anti-Greek and anti-Persian Spartans.
Yep, those Spartans.
Okay.
So they're very militaristic.
This is Mass Effect! Okay.
What?
Again?
Again.
Okay.
So they don't like the Krogan because the Krogan are essentially the Vikings of this universe. So they're
the Vikings versus the Spartans. All right.
They're the barbaric ones who almost conquered the galaxy several hundred years back.
Oh boy.
Before they were sterilized by a third race called the Salarians. Who are kind of the scientists of this universe.
Right. So we have the Spartans versus the Vikings versus the scientists. One of these things is not like the other.
It sounds like For Honor now.
With the samurai and
The knights and the Vikings.
Yeah, there we go.
But yeah, so the Krogan hate everyone because the Turian and the Salarians were the ones responsible for their sterilization as a race.
Okay, and you're trying to unite all of these people, and surprise, surprise, you do.
Because
you
need all of their resources to beat the Reapers. And you also have to somehow convince the Quarian, which is the other race that I mentioned way back at the beginning.
Way at the beginning.
That created the sentient machines that rose up and kicked them off their homeworld.
So they're the reasons that these people keep showing up every 50,000 years?
No. They didn't create the Reapers. This other sentient race of machines is called the Geth. Those are the ones that the Quarians made.
Oh, okay. Different sentient machines.
Stop me if I'm going too fast.
Okay. I'm trying to keep up.
Yeah. So you have to convince the Quarians to stop fighting with their creations, the Geth.
Okay.
And that's a big hullabaloo.
Then you have to convince the Vikings and the scientists and the Spartans to all get along. I keep wanting to say Persians, but that's not quite right. So you have to get all of them to get along. But then once everybody gets all along, war breaks out again.
Well,
no,
not exactly. Oh. The interesting thing about this particular game is that it's very heavily dependent on the choices that you made in previous games.
Really?
So there's
does it actually know what you made in previous games?
Yes, because Mass Effect has something called save file transfer,
ooh,
where it reads the data from past games and whether certain values are met, like you killed this person or you let them live at this key.
So do you have to play the first two to play the third one?
You don't. It will automatically assume that you made certain choices if you choose to start from Mass Effect 3 and just go.
So it's like a default in there already?
Yes, it's kind of a default world state. If you do play the other two games
first. Get at some different world lines.
Oh, yeah.
It's another time we've referenced Steins Gate. Anyways. So once
choices that were, yeah, choices.
Oh, so it remembers a different save file.
Yes. And it will import them into later games.
Okay. So then once all of that happens, and all of these people are now on your side,
you have to try to fight them off Earth.
The Reapers.
Yes, you have to fight the Reapers off Earth using a machine that you've been building this whole time called the Crucible.
Oh, okay. So there's a play about that, I believe.
There is. It's a very good play. It's unfortunately missing a key component in Mass Effect.
Of course.
Because Cerberus stole it.
Oh,
and Cerberus
man.
Is kind of the secondary main antagonist in this game.
Even though you were allied with them in the earlier game?
Yeah, because you kind of turned on them and now they hate you.
Even though you got court-martialed for it?
Yep.
Oh boy.
Everyone hates you in this
Everybody's political.
Everyone's political. Oh, everyone's boy. Racist.
Ah, what a great game.
Oh, it's so good. You should definitely play Mass Effect. Yeah.
But then once that happens...
Once that happens, you're finally able to track down the missing component and get it back from Cerberus. And that's where the controversial end of the game comes in. Because originally, before they fixed it, the options were you die in green light, you die in red light, or you die in blue light.
And red there was light, no way green light. That's all I'm thinking
there
right
was
now.
No way to get Shepard to survive.
You get stuck in playing a game with little kids called Red Light, Green Light. And kids never take that game seriously because they don't like to follow rules, and so they all cheat and you die. Every time.
Well, the actual, official names for the endings are Control, destroy or synthesis, which is the synthesis option is where a lot of the philosophy of Mass Effect comes in.
Okay.
So you either destroy the Reapers and just kill them all. You take control of them and become their new sentient AI overlord, essentially.
Is that the synthesis one?
Yes. Okay. No, actually, that's the control ending. Or you merge human, or not human, but organic and technological life into one. It's very weird, and you have to, it requires a little bit of...
It's reminding me of another game, but I can't remember
it. Requires a little bit of just go with it.
Okay. It's magic.
Space magic.
That's reminding me of Bella Darzu.
Belia Darzu.
Yes. From Darth
Vader. Oh, no, no, it's not more Star Wars. We will do an expanded universe at eventually. Some point in the future, we swear.
All right. We're getting dirty looks from Cassie over there.
So, yeah, that's basically Mass Effect, the trilogy.
And then there's a fourth game. Is it called Andromeda?
Andromeda. That one got a lot of hate for reasons that I won't get into here.
Okay, we can discuss those off mic at some point because we're running out of time, sadly.
We are.
All right, so that seems like quite the interesting game.
That is,
Massive universe, and you were very effective in describing it. Okay. All right, so we're going to go ahead. I think we'll wrap up this episode.
Yeah, I skimmed it at 30,000 feet. There will be some links later if you want to learn more about it.
All right. If you send Seth an email, he will
or
be happy.
Just link to the wiki page.
He will link you to the wiki page, and you can spend 3 hours researching that.
Or
which
more.
I may or may not do that tonight. Frankly, I get stuck researching wikis all the time.
Oh, I do too.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. So, well, unfortunately, we don't have a guest on the show this time, so we need to pick a random note. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask our person out there at the booth, Cassie, if you would pick a random note for us. Just tell us anything between A and G with a sharp or a flat or a natural. Just
fine.
Pick
You'll
anything
be fine.
Random.
Don't worry.
No worries. All right. And word from the booth is that we're going to have to go with A, which
right.
is a very, very straightforward key. I think we might be able to do this one. So, all right. Let's see. We'll have you go for the tonic and I'll go for the, should I do the third again?
We've already done the third.
We have
a,
done the
I believe,
third quite
so
a few times.
You want to do a fourth?
A fourth? That'll change the key entirely.
Yes, it will.
So we'll be in D major. Then I'll go for the D. You go for the A. But we'll have an A in there.
Yep.
Okay. Ready?
Goodbye.